Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel. I'll be joined with Rabbi David Aaron after the break. I'm sure you've had an experience before that you put a lot of effort into something. You really, really, really put yourself into it. And then after all that effort, it feels like it goes nowhere. No results. After all the effort, it could have been a diet. It could have been a project. It could have been a test you really, really studied for. You tried your best. You put so much effort in, you didn't do very well. It could be some business proposal that you really, really put your whole self into, and it wasn't accepted. There's so many times in life that we have these experiences where we just put a lot of effort into something. And then it's so frustrating when it feels like all that effort goes nowhere. And then you say, what does the effort count for? Because it's the end result that matters. If I didn't accomplish, if I didn't make the sale, I didn't finish, get the proposal, I didn't do well on the exam. All that effort feels like it really, really doesn't matter that much if the end result doesn't hold up. And that is very, very frustrating. But shouldn't our efforts matter? Should it only be end results if we accomplish, if we get things done, if things go the way we were hoping with all the effort? Is that what really should matter? Why can't effort matter more? Shouldn't it matter more? So I guess it really depends on what perspective we're looking at things. Because I think, as you think about this when we're raising children nowadays, we often talk about the importance of effort. You put in a good effort. And there's truth to that too. The efforts matter. So it is interesting that in certain aspects of life, it feels like it's not about effort, it's about the end game. That's what it comes down to, that's what matters. But there's other aspects of life where I think we can also recognize that it's not about the goal, it's not about necessarily if I'm going to feel like I was a success or not, and that's not even necessarily always up to me. It is about the effort that I put into things. At the end of the day, there's so many parts of life where the results are not in our control, and all we really do have control over is to what extent we put effort in. Now, this is very, very true, the effort that we put into when it comes to our own development, our character growth, our development. When you think about accomplishments, since the end results aren't really in our hands, there's times where we can put little effort in and something works really, really well. And there's times we put a tremendous amount of effort and things don't work out at all. This is where it's really important to recognize that end results aren't really in our hands anyhow. We can put the effort in and things don't work out. We could barely put effort in and things do work out. End results are not in our hands. What is in our hands is giving it our best foot forward, putting in the effort. And sometimes I think we have to change our perspective and really understanding that it's not about the achievement, because the achievement isn't necessarily in our hands. It's about the journey. It's about the process. It's about the growth that happens within us along the way. When we return, I want to get a better understanding from Rabbi David Aaron about understanding how we can engage more in the process of life, because that ultimately is where our greatest achievements can be found.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. Rabbi Aaron, so much of this world seems to depend on results as opposed to effort. You can put so much effort into it's like a business proposal. You have a business proposal. You spend days and days and days and hours working on it. And at the end of the day, if it's not accepted, what does all the effort matter for? It's about the end results. There's so many parts of this world that sometimes can be so frustrating, because as much as I think when we're growing up, there's this feeling of just putting good effort. You know, you tried hard. But there's so many aspects of this world where you can try, you can try, you can try. But if the end results don't pan out, you know, you don't make the sale as much as you were working with the customer, then do all the efforts really matter? And that can be very frustrating. I saw this great quote by Dr. Abraham Twersky, where he said, in spirituality, the searching is the finding and the pursuit is the achievement. And I realized there's so much beauty and there's such a relief, and it's so encouraging to realize that in this material physical world, it's true. There are so many aspects of life where it's not about the effort. It's about, you know, the end goal. Did I achieve it or not? And that can be very frustrating when we put an effort and we don't achieve the end goal. But that in spirituality, it's a totally different focus. At least from what he's saying here, the searching is the finding and the pursuit is the achievement. But it's so hard in certain ways to really see this, since so much of our life is in this material world where it does seem to, it feels at least that the end results are what matter, not the effort. So how can we really grab onto this understanding? And I feel like this can be so life-changing if we could really understand and tap our efforts into the spiritual side of things, where it is the effort that really does count.
Yeah. The metaphor I use is, imagine a fellow's climbing a mountain, and it's a long journey, and it's going to take him a good few days. And as he's, maybe one third up mountain, his friend comes by in a helicopter and says to him, "Hey, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm climbing this mountain." He said, well, what's your goal? He says, "My goal is the top of the mountain." So he says, "So jump in. I'll get you up there in 10 minutes. How long have you been climbing?" "Well, it's been already 2 days. What are you wasting your time for? Come into my helicopter and we can shoot you right up there in no time." Would he get into the helicopter? If he doesn't get into the helicopter, that means that he made a mistake. He thought that the top was the goal and the climb was the means. But it's just the opposite. The top was a means to what his true goal was, which was the joy of the climb, the adventure of the climb, the struggle of the climb. And that's a game changer. And that is how Judaism sees things, that we are here to choose life. And life isn't what happens at the end of it. It's what happens all along the way. And so, but we're in a world that's very much what could be called show me the money. And if you don't get results, then don't speak to me. You haven't really accomplished much. You know, for instance, if a guy was working for a company and his goal was to sell 1,000 units in the first 6 months, and he sells 2,000 units, well, the boss is just over the moon, calls him in, tells the guy, "Wow, you are my best salesman. You were supposed to only sell 1,000 and you doubled that." And the fellow says, "You know, boss, honestly, I hate this job. I can't even get out of bed. I don't even try. And I don't know how I get these results." What would the boss say? "Well, just keep doing that. I'm sorry you feel that way." But let's say another guy comes and he's supposed to sell 1,000 units and he only sells 500. Gets into the office for the annual review. Boss says, "Listen, I'm sorry, but you're down by 50%. I mean, he says, "But boss, I want you to know, I love my job. I put in all my effort. I really enjoy every day and every call." And the boss says, "Listen, that's very nice, but I mean, here, show me the money." That is the absolute opposite in Judaism. Judaism says it's about the journey. It's about the effort. It's about the choices. And the results, that's really up to God, if God wants you to have those results or not. But your department and the real results is that you made the choice, you put in the effort, and you made another step forward.
So since so much of this world, it's like the analogies you just gave, that it is about the end results. This is a message that's constantly given to us. How can we make this mental shift to recognize, and it's so true what you're saying, is that but both of these examples, you could put not too much effort in and you can have certain results. And you can put a lot of effort in and not have results. It's not the results that really are in our hands anyhow. But we were made to feel like they are, and that it all depends on the effort that we put into things.
Well, I think we have to be honest with ourselves. When are we really enjoying what we're doing? Is it when we get the results? Because I think that lasts for a very little amount of time. When we hit those results, and what we really enjoy is the journey, is the creativity, is the adventure, the suspense, where we're going, or will we get there? You know, like if you had a football team and they get on the field and they see that the football team that they're playing against are 5-year olds. They're going to beat them for sure. They're going to get the results. So they don't want to play. Well, what do you mean? Why don't you want to play? You got a sure game over here. You're gonna get the results. And so then they realize, oh my gosh, it's not about the results. It's about the game. And yeah, sure, we'd like to win the game, but it's about the game. It's about the journey. And so we have to kind of look honestly at when is it that we really do feel fulfilled? Is it when we get to the end or when we enjoy the journey as we move forward? And I think we have to just keep, you know, messaging ourselves and sending that clarity to ourselves or remind ourselves that that's what it's about. You know, that's the interesting thing in Judaism. We have Shabbat. Shabbat is a day where we stop doing particular kinds of acts of creativity. I got that one out. And it's acts that correlate to what it would take to build the tabernacle. That's kind of strange. Like that's it. Any act that is similar to an act that went into the building of the tabernacle in the desert is something we have to refrain from on the Shabbat. One of the ideas there is, you'd think that Shabbat would be the day that I would be most invested in doing those acts because I want that tabernacle. That tabernacle represents the highest achievement of mankind to create a space, so to speak, for God to become more present in the world. So imagine, you know, we're rebuilding the temple, which was the permanent tabernacle. And we've got 15 minutes left. We've been waiting all of history to do this. But Shabbat is in 10 minutes. That would mean that in order to get the results that we've been dreaming for and working for all those years, would just take 5 minutes out of Shabbat. What would we do? According to Judaism, you have to stop and wait an entire day to continue. I think the deep message there is even building the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, that ultimate result is secondary to the journey towards it. And I think that's why it's interesting that buildings are not called built. They're called buildings. You think it's already built, so call it built. No, it's about the journey. It's about building. You know, once I finish this building, I'm going to go on to another building. I don't want to stay in the built. Same thing with a painter. He doesn't have painteds. He has paintings. Because his greatest joy is, yes, of course, he loves to finish that painting, but he's already on his way to the next one because he loves the process of painting. And, of course, he needs to get to a painted, but that was just a means to the real goal, which was the journey.
You know, as you're explaining it, it is so true that there is tremendous fulfillment within the journey itself. And yet it does seem as though it's a part of human nature that we almost have to overcome to really consciously enjoy the journey and not just focus on the ends. And I'm thinking, I've seen this with my children. I'm working on one now. One of my younger children, we enjoy playing games, but she's so focused on she needs to win or she can't enjoy the game. And we keep saying, but enjoy playing the game even if you don't win. And it seems, and this isn't the only child, I feel like there's a certain stage where it just almost seems as though part of human nature is wanting to feel like, again, I've achieved, I got to the end, and as opposed to, and we almost have to really talk ourselves into recognizing if I could enjoy the process, that's actually even more fulfilling than whether I win or lose. But it seems as though we have to almost work on ourselves to recognize that, to integrate that, as opposed to it naturally always being there.
I wonder if our children have been impacted by us kind of picking up on energy. You know, I was watching my children put together this puzzle, this jigsaw puzzle, and it took them, you know, a couple of days. It was one of those huge ones with hundreds of pieces. And when they finally completed it, I had in mind to frame it. They didn't. Their celebration is they kicked it to start all over again. And I said, wow, what are they doing? And they just love doing it. And now that it's done, big deal. So I remember I I felt like I need to take my son to the playground. I was at the office too much. I called my wife. I said, you know, tell Ananiel that I was going to especially come home now to take him to the playground. So my son was very excited about that. He was a little boy. And so we go out of the house, and he hides behind the wall. I say, Ananiel, come on, let's go. We got to get to the playground. We got to play. And he goes, oh, okay. And then he starts playing, you know, step on a crack, you know, break your back. And I said, come on, I don't have time. We got to go play. And then I looked at his eyes and I realized, boy, who's the fool here? He's telling me we are playing. We don't have to get to the playground. The joy is the getting, not the getting to.
So the truth is there's so much to learn from children about the process of enjoying the process and the journey. When we return, Soul Talk, read by David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk. Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron talking about in spirituality. It's all about the searching is more important than the finding. The pursuit is the achievement. And I was thinking we were talking about two different kinds of examples. I brought one of children, how it's like hard to enjoy the process of the game. They just want to win. You brought some amazing examples of your children who realizing it's the process they're enjoying, building that jigsaw puzzle. It's not about framing it. It's about let's do it again. It's not about getting to the park. It's about enjoying the way. And I was thinking, even as adults, it's so true. I feel like even within myself, there's different parts of me. There are certain parts of my life where it's true. It's so much about the process. It's not even about the end. It's almost you're disappointed when the end comes because the process is the exhilarating part of it. On the other hand, I know there's definitely other parts of my life where it's like, I'm not enjoying the process at all. I just want to get to the end. I want the end result. I don't want to have to go through it. So it is interesting that there is this interesting mix that can be in all of us, that there are times where we don't enjoy the process as much as we should, and recognize that this process actually can give us so much more than just focusing on the end. And then there's other aspects of life where it just seems the process itself, it's so easy to recognize that this is the part that's fulfilling. But what we really need to do is recognize, especially in the parts where we get stuck in the end results, to recognize there's even a process there. Although sometimes it's hard to see, and this is just almost like a very practical, almost silly example, but this happened to me this week, and I feel like sometimes it's these small examples that we can all relate to. I had a doctor's appointment to get some referrals that I needed, and I ended up spending an hour and 10 minutes not getting what I needed, just for various reasons of the doctor running late, and then my missing something, and then having to wait for her again, and then by the time I was almost ready to see her, I had another appointment that I was going to miss if I didn't leave, and I remember just feeling so frustrated, like I spent an hour and 10 minutes for nothing. I wasted my time. I got nothing accomplished, and it's such a frustrating feeling, and I kept telling myself, no, think of there must have been something that you gained from waiting for the hour and 10 minutes. It feels terrible to feel like you just wasted your time. And I really had a hard time coming up with it. But I think, especially we're talking about here, we have to engage in, it's not just about end results, it's about a whole process. But what do we do when we have these kinds of situations where, even if we recognize, okay, I didn't get what I thought I came for, I spent an hour and 10 minutes, but I don't want to feel like it was a waste. So how can I engage in the process to not feel like I wasted my time? When we get stuck, what can we do to help ourselves figure this out?
Well, there's a basic principle in what's called Perkei Avot, the chapters of fathers, the ethics of our fathers, which is a say ritzono ritzoncha, want what Hashem wants. So now if I'm in an office and this is what's happening, then this must be what Hashem wants. Now, why would Hashem want me to be sitting in that office waiting for that, you know, that appointment or whatever it is that I was waiting for? Because he had something he wanted you to accomplish very different than what you thought you came there to accomplish. You are now practicing patience. You are building your ability to be more patient, to rein in on your your inclination to get frustrated, stay calm and not get angry, and you walked out of there a millionaire because you actually came out gaining so much in your character development. So we sometimes are will be surprised that what we thought we came for, Hashem, God had something different in mind for us to really gain. And that was something in the inside, not something on the outside. Mm-hmm. And so it was not about having something and walking away with it. It was becoming that which would be much more.
Wow. I have to thank you so much for this, but this is so life-changing in so many aspects of our life. I mean, just, it's true. I think I really was stuck on my goal of this is what I came here for and I didn't get it. But if this is just such a good example of if I change my mindset and I have to almost take, we have to take ourselves out of what we think we're supposed to be accomplishing in a day. And especially it's true, when we're too focused on end results and not focused on process, we can totally miss the point.
Well, you know what we have to do in those moments where we're frustrated, we have to turn to Hashem, to God, and say, thank you that I am waiting for an hour, because clearly there's some opportunity here. Bless me with the clarity of what that opportunity is so I can really, really cash in on what it is meant to be giving me in this waiting period. And hopefully that will open up the gates of you getting some clarity on what you really should focus on and say, ah, I came here to get a referral. And Hashem said, no, I want to give you a little more practice in patience and being calm and letting go and accepting in relating to the person next to you. It's like I was in New York and we were on our way out for Shabbat outside of New York. It was Friday afternoon and suddenly I'm in the car with this fellow and the highway turns into a parking lot. I mean, nothing's moving, just nothing's moving. And we're in a rush to get to Shabbat. And I turn to this fellow and say, what's going on? He says, well, this is rush hour. And I say, whoa, who's the guy, who's the sadist that came up with that name? I mean, like here, we're all in a rush. Let's call it rush hour to remind us. And there we were sitting there. And we got into this conversation, which we might not have gotten to, you know, this deep conversation had we thought like we're just here to get there, when I realized that we were there to be there and do something else rather than drive forward, but move inward in our connection and in our dialogue. So, you know, we have to look at it and always say, Hashem has got such perfect design. There must be some opportunity here for growth. And let's get creative and let's get out of the box and see what other opportunities are here for me to grow that are very different than what I actually anticipated initially.
See, in this mindset, all these situations that would typically be described as frustrating, because again, we are sort of goal-oriented. If we don't feel like we've accomplished what we set out to do, or our plans change unexpectedly out of our control, those are those frustrating situations. But all the situations that could tentatively be frustrating if we're thinking about them more in this material world, if we think of them in a spiritual perspective, then these are the opportunities. I love that word you use. These are all opportunities for us to become so much more. And it's so true what you were saying about the idea of patience and letting go. These are all things that I can gain and become out a millionaire with as far as my growth from the experience. If I didn't have to wait, there's no opportunity for me to work on patience, right? So it's these things that seem like they're actually frustrating and stalling my day, stopping me from getting what I need, that actually it's the total opposite if I can think about it in the right perspective. From a spiritual perspective, this is actually giving me so much that I wouldn't have even anticipated. I couldn't have created the situation to help me work on myself as much as this situation that was not how I planned my day, but it brought out something wonderful if I can think about it in the right perspective.
Well, we have to look at the world as an opportunity and a context for character building, rather than just making money or getting this or having that. But it's about becoming more rather than having more.
And this is a mindset we really have to integrate within ourselves, because I feel like there's such a strong message, such a focus in the society in which we live about having more. I mean, this is the whole advertising industry. These messages are constantly being sent to us about the importance of having more. And not as much emphasis is about being more. But at the end of the day, being more is what we're really here to accomplish and achieve. Having more isn't going to help us all that much, because we can't take it with us. And it doesn't bring the ultimate satisfaction that being more brings, even in this world.
Right. So Judaism teaches that we should be content with what we have and discontent with who we are, so that we are constantly yearning and working towards developing our character. But the world has a very different attitude. It's be discontent with what you have and be content with who you are. And we flipped it around and said, you know what? What you have, that's good. You don't need to do well. You know, you got enough. But are you enough? And work on the joy of deep spiritual growth, growing your character, becoming more kind, more caring, more loving, more compassionate, more authentic.
And these are all spiritual pursuits, which is, I think there's also, and I'm thinking about it too, when we think about character growth in the realm of spirituality, and that it's not about arriving, it's about the process. That's actually also very encouraging, comforting, because there's so many times where we can be really hard on ourselves. I'm working on being more giving, and yet I realize that I'm not as kind of person, you know, I have an image of who I'd like to be. I'm not there. Or I'm working on my patience, but I just lost it today. Meaning, if we see spiritual things as we have to achieve a certain goal, we have to get to a certain point, then it's very frustrating if we put that like in the material world, it's about the ends. But if we recognize it's all about the process of, but this is something I'm working on, and my goal is to keep on working on it. And all these frustrating opportunities or situations are actually opportunities for me to work on it more. Then instead of being frustrated by not achieving, we can engage in the process and say, you know, it's not about an end goal. It's about a process. It's about going through this flow and process, and about taking steps and keep on going forward, even if I have some setbacks.
Right. And so, you know, imagine you wake up in the morning, you turn to your husband, you say, you know, honey, I love you. He says, you know, I love you too. Uh-huh. Okay, now what? Love is not a destination, it's a journey. And that's what's so beautiful about it, is you can never love a person enough. You can never get to a person who will say, well, we did it, been there, done that, well, now what? And that because that's what life is. Life is a process. When it stops, it's dead. You know, I remember I knew a woman. She was extremely active woman, and you know what? Maybe we'll save that for the next segment. I see we're kind of running out of time for this segment, so remind me. I'll share with you the story in the next segment.
When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron, recognizing that in spirituality, searching is the finding and the pursuit is the achievement. And before the break, Rabbi, you spoke about love And love definitely is, I think, within the realm of the spiritual. It's not something material. It's not something physical. And you said love is not a destination. It's a journey, which is such an important mindset and understanding to be in. And you were about to share a story that really exemplified, demonstrated this idea.
Well, so I met this woman, and she was incredible, you know, incredible in her hospitality. And she would have many, many guests, and she would work very hard in preparing, you know, beautiful meals for her guests. And her daughter, you know, the woman was already, you know, quite up there in age. And her daughter said, Mommy, relax. And the woman told me, you know what? I tell my daughter, honey, I'll have plenty of time to relax in my grave. In this world, I'm here to work and to do more and more and more. And that's the attitude. The attitude is to choose life and to know that life is growth, is process. You know, our sages tell us that originally, when God created the world, the tree and the fruit were meant to taste the same, and that the tree was as edible and as sweet as the fruit. But our sages tell us, their mystical idea, that the earth did not obey the will of God and sinned and produced not a fruit tree, but trees of fruit. Where now the fruit is edible and sweet, but the tree itself is not. So what does that mean? So one of the great teachers of the 20th century, Rabbi Abraham Isaac Cook, explains that it meant that the process and the end goal were equally sweet, and that the fruit is the produce, the product, and the tree is the process, and that really the process and the product should be equally sweet. But what happened is that the land sinned and focused on the product being edible and sweet, but the process is just a means. And if we could get it over with as fast as possible, we would. And that's the mistake that people make. They're impatient. They've got some goal. I remember I went on a hike with my students, and they were walking so fast, and they were like, and I said, go slow down. And I realized that all they wanted to do, we got off the bus, and their goal was to get through this trail as fast as they could to get back on the bus. I said, well, what was the point of getting off the bus and getting back onto the bus? You know, Jerry Seinfeld's got this great skit where he imagines what it must be like for a racehorse. You know, he's at the start line, the gun goes off, and the rider starts pushing him to run faster and faster and faster, and there he goes. And then he ends up in the same place that he started. And the horse is saying, what did we do that for? Why were you in such a big hurry? Why did we even leave? We were there already. And so it was about the journey. It wasn't about where we're getting to. It's about the quality of the journey towards it.
Hmm. Yeah, it reminded me of a quote I read somewhere, and I can't even remember where, but it was said, the end of all beginnings is to arrive at where you began and to know the place for the first time. And when you just shared that story of the horse, it really reminded me about that, because I think that is the point, that every single day we're on a journey. And we start our day, let's say we wake up in our bed, and we end our day, we end up in our bed, but there's so much that happens in between. And especially thinking of my situation, we all have these days where we think our day is going to go one way, and we have all these plans, and then it goes very differently. But if we recognize that whether I have my plans and things go the way I think they are, or things go very differently than I think they are, you know, starting my day, I'm ending my day in the same place, hopefully. But I have to recognize that what is supposed to happen in between is my self-growth. I'm supposed to engage in the process of the day, whatever it brings, and I hope I can end my day feeling like I am a better person. I am a person who's grown more today, and that it's through this journey of my day, I am more.
Yeah, and this is what, you know, the focus of Torah life is. It's about growing. There's a verse that says, Yismach lev mevakshei Hashem. Happy is the heart that seeks God. And so a great rabbi, also from the 20th century, Rabbi Charlup, explains that great is happiness of the heart that seeks God, not the heart that finds God. We don't want to find God because, wow, that'll be so boring. Been there. Oh, got it. Okay, now what? But we enjoy the journey, the yearning, the anticipation. And so Rabbi Charlap explains that when Moses saw the burning bush, the verse says that he turned away. And so why did he turn away? And so Rabbi Charlap explains that Moses was afraid that maybe he found God and the journey would be over. The adventure, the anticipation, the suspense. And so this is the idea. We love the journey. You know, it's kind of like going to a movie and going to the showing beforehand so you can see the end. Or speaking to someone and they start telling you about a movie, say, no, don't tell me the end, don't tell me the end, and they tell you the end. You don't go to a movie for the end. You go to a movie for every moment of the movie. The same thing with music. You don't listen to music to get to the last note. That's not the goal of the music. The goal of the music is every note. Yes, it has to move forward, and there is a last note. But the song was not written for the last note. The song was written for the rhythm of every note in the right time, in the right space, in the right place. And so we need to look at our lives more like music. And I think that's why people love music so much, because it reminds them of the way life should be. And if you speed up the music, you destroy the music. And if you get anxious and we got to end this song, then you have no understanding what it means to be singing a song at all.
That is such a powerful thought about what our lives are like, and it is so true. I feel like there's parts of our lives we want to speed up, there's parts of our lives that we want to slow down, but it's true that, like music, we have to go with a certain flow, and once we speed up time, we don't have that time back. It's time that's lost if we don't really take it and take advantage of it. But this perspective of recognizing that engaging in the process of life, engaging in this within the seeking process of life, it's not about arriving anywhere. It's about continuing to grow within the process. It totally changes the way that we live our lives. It's a very different perspective.
Right. That's the old saying, time is of the essence. Not things, not space. It's about the time that we share. And I heard it put so beautifully that our children, you know, we confuse and think that they want all these toys and everything, but they're not going to remember those toys most likely. What they will remember is the time that we shared together. You know, my children are already, you know, older, teenager and married. And their favorite moments is the time I would take with them and we would ride our bikes together. And we wouldn't go anywhere. It wasn't like we got on the bike to go somewhere. We just got on our bikes to ride and to ride together. And those are their favorite memories. And that's what they'll cherish. Our children won't remember most of what we give them in terms of things, but they will remember what we shared with them in terms of the time.
And time really is so spiritual because it's so real. We are so dependent and live within it. And yet it's not something that you can hold on to. I feel like that is sometimes the challenge where we want to almost, especially when we're in these special moments, we want to hold on to that time. It's like you want it almost to be a material thing that you can hold in your hands and feel like you can keep it with you, and yet it passes us by. And the only thing that we really do have control over is what do we do with the time that we have.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I love so much about Shabbat. Shabbat just slows things down, gets you out of let's finish things, let's accomplish things, and let's just enjoy sharing time together. We eat together, we sing together, we chat, we have no agenda, we're not taking minutes of this meeting, we're not trying to accomplish anything. What we're really trying to accomplish is just enjoying the life we share together.
And it is so important to have, again, especially in the fast-paced world that we live in, we are so focused on trying to accomplish, trying to achieve, trying to get to our end goals. We really need that reminder. We need that weekly reminder, daily reminders that we have to stop and focus on the here and now, focus on the process. It's not just about getting somewhere. Because so much of this life is about feeling like we need to get somewhere, we need to be somewhere, and even time, we're trying to manipulate time for our own use. We have to stick to a certain time factor, as opposed to living in time where time brings us. It's not just about trying to manipulate it and trying and having it define us. It's living through it.
Right. I think it's kind of ironic that it's called a deadline. The people are living for a deadline, you know, and so we are so focused on the future. We're not really cherishing the journey of this moment and this moment and this moment.
And this is why I think this conversation is so absolutely important, because it's tough in a certain way when we live in this material world and there are certain material rules, but there's also a spiritual world. It's just, and the spiritual world is actually a lot more important than the physical world that we live in. But all these important things, I think there's often this idea that sometimes there's things that seem urgent, but they're not that important. And the things that are important but not urgent sometimes get ignored. So it's the spiritual things that we really need to be putting our time and focus and energy into that I think we often times get distracted by other things that seem like they're a lot more urgent, material deadlines, that at the end of the day, that's a lot less important than the spiritual growth, even if it's not about an end goal, it's about being in this process. That's what really is ultimately so important. I want to thank you all for joining us, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.